Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Happy Hanukkah! I want to be the first to wish you Happy Hanukkah! You're looking at me like I'm crazy. I know what you're thinking. Okay, this guy's eyesight so bad he can't read the calendar anymore. We know that Hanukkah doesn't happen in the springtime, right? He even says in the lesson it was winter. It usually happens somewhere around November, December-ish. We remember all the Jewish festivals, of course, are calendar based on lunar events, not solar events. So they don't stay the same each year. But it doesn't usually happen in springtime. So you're thinking, okay, we at least expected, if not a Mother's Day sermon, a Good Shepherd sermon today. One of those themes is going to preach on. He's going to talk to us about Hanukkah? Yeah, I want to talk to you about Hanukkah. And stick with me, I think it's eventually going to get everything involved in it, okay? So a little give and take here. What do you know about Hanukkah? What do you know about our brothers and sisters, our Jewish friends and families? What does Hanukkah celebrate? Come on, show me your great knowledge here. Come on.
The oil lasted for eight days.
The generals who were put in charge after Alexander the Great died tried to beat down the religion of Israel and conquer it, and they boarded the temple up and wouldn't let anybody go near it, knowing that when the oil went out, the lamp that was supposed to stay burning for all time to symbolize God's presence would go out. But for eight days, the lamp burned despite the fact that there should not have been oil, that God provided the oil. And for that reason, what do most Jewish families have in their household?
Menorah.
A menorah with eight candles. It's a celebration of light shining in the darkness, not unlike, and I'm sure Christianity borrows a good bit from that, as well as the solstice in celebrating Christmas in the middle of December when there's dark and light. It has great symbolism. It's about God's perseverance and dedication and all kinds of good things, right? You still haven't figured out why I'm telling this story. Hey. Look again at the lesson. It says, at the feast of dedication of the temple. That was what Hanukkah was known as in the time of Jesus. Because they thought of it as the time when the temple had survived and was rededicated to God's glory. So therefore, Hanukkah was called the dedication. So it was wintertime. And that's what makes the story funny. You're still thinking I'm crazy. Okay. Consider what Hanukkah is all about again. It's about God's perseverance. It's about God's ability to carry through. And it's not about God's ability to give people what they want. Because the people in the time of Maccabeus, when all this happened in Hanukkah, wanted God to overthrow the Greeks and come in and do everything and do it right now. Instead, God gave them oil and had them wait and persevere and endure. Still again. Read the lesson again. You'll notice that what the people around Jesus ask him for is they want everything and they want it now. Give us the kingdom. Prove you're the Messiah. Do it all right now. We don't want to wait. We don't want to have to suffer. We don't want to do anything. Just give us what we want. And that's a human inclination, isn't it? We all would prefer that God would act that way. That God would just hear our prayers, give us everything we want, and everything would be hunky-dory for all of us. But it's not the way it works in Scripture, is it? God works for and does great things for people, but it's on God's schedule. It's the way God sees we need. And God doesn't promise us ever to give us everything we want. He gives us what we need. Sorry about that, Rolling Stones fans. When we need it, not necessarily when we want it. And that's what the story of Hanukkah was about. It wasn't about a God who just pulled a magic act and saved the people, but a God who gave them what they needed, the oil, the presence, for them to be able to believe and follow and endure. Well, isn't that what the shepherd stories are about in the Bible? That the sheep know the shepherd's voice and they follow him? Not that the shepherd gives the sheep everything they want when they want it, but the shepherd can be trusted to provide what is needed. The shepherd literally, physically, would lay at the gate door to protect the sheep from all harm. The shepherd would make sure that the sheep would wander about anywhere, got to the right places to get the food that they needed by eating the grasses and so forth. The sheep began to listen to know their shepherd's voices, could pick them out. Could pick them out among a number of different shepherds that would call them. They would know theirs because they learned to trust that their shepherd would make sure they were taken care of. Isn't that also Mother's Day? I mean, No, can't promise that all mothers are that, but isn't that one thing? I don't know about you, but my mother didn't always give me everything I wanted when I wanted it. Thank God. My mother helped me learn about things like patience, which was a real task for me, trust me. Endurance, perseverance. I knew I could always count on my mother's love, though sometimes I'm sure I tested that from time to time. But it wasn't giving me what I wanted so much, just giving me what I needed. And when I needed it. And sometimes that was a little hard for Mom, because she had to deny me sometimes. But it did teach me how to live and grow and endure on my own. And I think that's one of the things we lift up on Mother's and Father's Days, isn't it? That if we've had good parents, they didn't just take care of us. They taught us to trust and to know and to grow and things like that. Put that in contrast against what's going on that day, and you almost have to laugh. It's funny that these people wanted that, and yet isn't that the way we treat God quite often? That we want what we want, when we want it, now, don't make us wait. We're in a, you know, we think that's a 21st century invention, you know, instant gratification, but it was true in Jesus' day too. People wanted to avoid things like enduring and patience and faith. Just get to the victory part. I think this is here also, because that's where we are in the church here. We celebrated the victory of Easter. But the victory is not complete. We're still living in a time of faith and hope, and we need to hear the shepherd's voice. We need to be able to distinguish it, because the shepherd can be trusted, because the shepherd cares about us. But the shepherd is not going to give us what we want every time we want it all the time. That's not good for us, and it's not the way God works. But the promise is that God will give us the things we need to endure, to outlast, to persevere, to carry on. And that's what faith is about. Not about getting everything we want, but about getting the things we need and trusting in the one who provides them. That's why it's lessons here. That's why it makes sense to talk about Hanukkah. Because Hanukkah was the great symbol of God's enduring presence in good and bad times, and his call for people of faith to persevere, to outlast evil and darkness and things like that. And it's the message we need to hear now too. On this Good Shepherd Day, on this Mother's Day, is also this message of hope and endurance and lasting. Because that's the kind of God we have. We walk out of this door today, our problems are not going to disappear because we came to church. And if anyone told you that, you'd get a money back guarantee on that one, okay? That isn't the way it works. But we did come here because we hear the voice. The voice we know of one who cares and loves for us, and we recognize that voice in others who loved and cared us in our lives, and we know that here we will get what we need to persevere, to endure, to shine the light in the darkness. So yes, have a great Good Shepherd Sunday. Have a marvelous Mother's Day. You mothers have deserved it. You earned it in my book. But also, enjoy a little happy Hanukkah. Amen.
Amen.